Chapter 4. How we may know whether we are acting with self-distrust and trust in God. One who is presumptuous oftentimes imagines that he has gained this spirit of self-distrust and trust in God when he has really nothing of the kind. You may learn this by the way he takes his falls. If, after a fall, you give way to despondency and vexation, and despairingly complain that you can make no progress, such feelings evidently show that you have been trusting in yourself and not in God. And if your sadness and discouragement is much, then there can be no doubt that your trust in self was much, and your trust in God but little. For he who much distrusts himself and trusts in God, when he falls, is not surprised at it, neither does he become sad, bitter, and desponding, because he knows his fall is owing to his own weakness and the little trust he placed in God. On the other hand, as he grows in self-distrust, so more and more does he humbly trust in God, and hating intensely his sin and the rebellious passions which caused his fall, and mourning over it with a deep, calm, and meek sorrow because of the offense against God, he at once resumes his efforts and pursues his enemies with new resolution and energy, even to the death. I wish that some persons, who think themselves spiritual, would well consider these things, who cannot or will not give themselves a moment's peace when they have committed a fault. Such persons rush off to their spiritual father chiefly to relieve themselves of their anxiety and vexation, which arise from self-love more than from anything else, although their first concern should be to be cleaned from the stain of their sins and to be fortified against temptation by the Most Holy Sacrament. Chapter 5. Of the mistake of many who hold timidity for a virtue. Many persons fall into this error. These consider the fearfulness and restlessness which follow upon a sin a virtuous feeling, for it is accompanied by a certain dissatisfaction with oneself, and do not see that it springs from a secret pride and from presumption, which are based on self-trust and self-reliance. Thinking themselves to be something, they have placed too much trust in their own strength. Their fall has obliged them to make the discovery that they do not possess this strength, and thus they are cast down and are full of wonder, as if something extraordinary had happened, and they become timid because that trust in themselves, upon which they had foolishly leaned, had given way. The humble man knows no such experience, for his sole trust is in God. He places no reliance on his own powers. When he falls into any fault, he is indeed sorry, but he is neither disquieted nor surprised, for he knows, as the light of truth has clearly manifested to him, that the fall is the result of his own weakness and misery. Chapter 6. Further advice as to obtaining this distrust of self and trust in God. Inasmuch as our whole strength for conquering our enemies principally depends upon distrust of self and trust in God, I would furnish you with further counsels, that through the help of God you may attain this grace. Concerning distrust in self, it is above all important that you should know and be fully persuaded that not all gifts, whether natural or acquired, nor all graces freely given, nor the knowledge of all Scripture, nor long and habitual exercise in God's service, are sufficient to enable you to do His will. Unless in every good work which has to be done, in every temptation which has to be conquered, in every danger which has to be avoided, and in every cross which has to be borne according to His will, our heart is uplifted and sustained by His especial assistance, and His mighty hand is outstretched to help us. Therefore we ought to bear this in mind throughout our whole life, every day, every hour, every moment, and never allow the thought that there are any grounds for our confidence in ourselves. But with reference to trust in God, consider that it is as easy for God to overthrow many enemies as to overthrow few, and as easy for Him to conquer enemies old and experienced as to conquer the weak and unskillful. Therefore, suppose a soul to be heavy laden with sins, to have committed all possible sins, and to be full beyond description of all deformities. Let such a soul have made every effort, have resorted to every possible means and spiritual exercise in order to rise above sin and acquire virtues, and yet have failed in making the least progress. Nay, on the contrary, have been born more than ever towards evil. Yet that soul ought still to trust in God, and never to lay aside its spiritual weapons and exercises, but to continue strenuously to face the foe, for no one loses in this battle but he who ceases to fight and to trust in God. He never ceases to help his soldiers, although he sometimes suffers them to be wounded. Only fight, for all depends on this. There are remedies at hand for healing the wounds of those warriors who look to God and to His help with confidence, and when they least expect it, they shall find their enemies dead.